Hi, and welcome to the River Talk podcast. It's a podcast about whitewater, rafting, kayaking, that kind of thing. And normally we have Eric Weiseth and Priscilla Macy as the co-hosts, but they're off doing stuff today. So my friend Aaron is jumping in as the co-host again. Welcome back, Aaron.
Thanks for having me back, Zach. It's good to be here.
Yes, of course. Do you have any news of the week?
Well, lots of rivers are being shut down right now. I mean, you know, Grand Canyon, I think they said they're shut down until May 21st, so no private or commercial launches. Dinosaur National Monument is closed down until further notice. And I think Big Bend, they shut stuff down too, as well as, like, you know, Grand Canyon Recreation Area, obviously Glen Canyon Recreation Area, and Yosemite's closed. I mean, so many parks and so many places we go outdoors all the time are all closed right now.
Yeah.
And those are national parks. Have you heard anything about any Forest Service lands being closed yet, or is it just been the national parks and national monuments?
I think it's just the national parks and national monuments, and I think part of the reason is because those things attract people. You know, the national parks are meant to, they're attractors, where national forests aren't as much. And so people haven't gone there. But I know that here in Oregon yesterday, tons of people were flocking to the waterfalls in the gorge, and they were flocking to the Oregon coast, which has caused a lot of problems. You know, small communities are having influx of people, potentially spreading the coronavirus and, you know, buying them out of things. And so the local communities are saying, hey, whoa, get out of here. Like, we don't want you here.
Dirty city people. Go back to your cities.
Yeah, totally. So I'm starting to see, I mean, I'm not a fan of the government closing our public lands, but I'm starting to see why we may have to have some of that, just to have some control over people traveling and when we probably shouldn't be traveling right now. So, yeah, any other news? Any other news, Aaron?
That's the only news I have. How about you? Or Bill, do you have any news?
No, just like you guys were saying, like, everything's shutting down. It's crazy. So I'm here in San Francisco, and it's a ghost town. It's crazy. Like, no one's on the bar. It looks like the zombie apocalypse happened. So,
yeah.
California sounds like it's nuts right now.
Bill, are you in the city in San Francisco, in the city of San Francisco?
I'm outside of it. I live pretty much hang out near Pacifica, which is like 10 minutes away, about 15 minutes to the airport too. So.
Yeah, I know where Pacifica is.
Are you Daly City?
No, just outside of Daly. It's Daly City, and then it goes Pacifica just past there. So.
Okay. Yeah, I lived in Pacifica for a little while back in the day.
All right. I feel like we're going into the interview, which is great. Yeah. And I wanted to introduce Bill really quick. And Bill is somebody who, I don't know how you popped up on my radar, but starting about a year ago, 2 years ago, I started seeing your stuff on YouTube and on the Facebook. You're all over Facebook, and I don't know much about you, so I thought we'd have you on the show today just to get to know you better, learn about your boating history, like, and kind of like what your YouTube channel is about and all that. Does that sound cool?
Yeah, it sounds way cool.
Sweet. Well, welcome. And first of all, when did you start boating?
I knew this question was coming. So I started pretty much when I was like 3 years old. Our family's always had a love for water. We've had like a Lake Cumberland, had a vacation home that was kind of in the whole family. So I've always been on the lake my whole life on vacations, love the water. Probably a canoe trip when I was like 3-4 years old. I remember my dad like dumping the canoe. I was screaming, and then he's like, just stand up. He was at takeout. So like, I've always had a love for the water. I got into rock climbing as a teenager, and then rock climbing's what took me out west. And also, like, our church had what was called Royal Rangers, which is kind of like Boy Scouts, and that's kind of what introduced me to, like, backpacking, rock climbing, rafting, all that stuff. And so I always had a dream to do, like, the Gauley and the New, which we did with our church and stuff. I did the Ocoee River. But it was rock climbing that really took me out west. And when I moved to Moab, Utah, is where I really like fell in love with boating. So I moved out west, and then my best friend who was in the climbing moved out west. So we ran like the Moab Daily. I've ran like, I don't know, 10 or 15 times down Westwater. I've got to do Cataract Canyon like 3 times. And in that, I've always had this like mantra, bigger is better. That's kind of my family thing, or at least my dad's thing was like, bigger is better, you know? And so, by moving to Colorado or Moab, I heard about Gore Canyon. And so my best friend Aaron, I was like, dude, let's go do Gore. He's like, you're just nuts, dude. You just like to do big, crazy. I'm like, no, man, let's go do Gore. He's like, well, how are we going to do it? It's like, I don't care if we do it commercially. Cause we had started private boating in Moab pretty much, through lent boats. He borrowed a cap boat. I borrowed a piece of craft ducky, and we ran, like I said, the Moab Daily a bunch mm-hmm. and into Westwater and things like that. So I planted the seed. Let's do Gore. Let's do Gore. Let's do Gore. Well, in the process of that, he met a girl, married her, and good friends of both of them. And she's like, she was on Mountain Buzz and found Darren Vansel's brother, Shane, and they were getting ready to go do Gore and creature crafts. And Aaron is a person I taught how to rock climb. He got to do big walls in Yosemite and all that stuff. And so I get a phone call because we always did everything together. He's like, dude, we're going to go do Gore. I'm like, sweet. When do we leave? He's like, oh, it's just me and Stacy, but you're not going. I was like, oh, you're a great friend.
Oh, man.
So I was bummed. This was like June season when it peaks. Like, I think it's like second week of May to like third week of June is season in Colorado. So,
Bill, how long ago are we talking?
Oh, my God. I moved to Moab when I was 25 years old or 26 years old, and I'm 42 now. So it's been almost 17, 18 years, somewhere in there. I've been out west. So I moved from Cincinnati, Ohio, Northern Kentucky. Yeah. I'm from Northern Kentucky. I was born and raised in Cold Spring, Kentucky. So that's where I'm originally from.
And so when you say you moved west, you moved to Moab. Because when I think of west, I think of the west. Like Oregon, yeah, Washington, yeah. California, like
well,
like Moab still.
West is Moab.
Okay.
So yeah, it was through rock climbing is how I found Moab. Like when I was 21 years old, I went on a road trip. I climbed Zion's, Moonlight Buttress. I went to go attempt to do Moonlight as a aid climb. And then just from there, I fell in love with that west. We went to Moab that trip too. We climbed like the Owl and Arches National Park and stuff like that. So really fell in love with Moab. And then the year I moved to Moab, less than a calendar year later, I bought a house in Moab.
Wow.
All my dirtbag friends were like, oh my God, you bought a house? Are you crazy? I'm like, yeah, it was a ripping deal. Of course I'm buying this house. So I've had that house ever since. I think I've had it like 18 years. And of course it was a flop house the first year or two I owned it. I had like 10 or 12 friends living there. It's just, they're all climbers and got to meet that whole crowd. So, but through that is how I really, really got more into boating. And so that's my story is, as I guess, because everybody kind of equates me with creature craft, but I've done everything else. I've done round boats. I like duckies. I really love to run a ducky. Like I said, bigger is better. So when water's low, a ducky makes it feel bigger. So
I duckied with you. Remember, we went ducking together.
Yeah. Yeah. The East Fork of the Hood was rad. That was so rad. That was so much fun. That was on like Donkey Kong too. That first mile was like intense. So I wish I had a shorter ducky at the time, but, but that was super, super fun. And, like I said, through Gore is how I met Darren. Everybody meets Darren usually through one other person. So like it's two people like, hey, my friend met Darren and that's how I met Darren. So that's how I met Darren was through my best friend's wife meeting Shane, which is his brother. So so that was June they went. So I didn't go to that fall until I think they went to when was my first time? We went and ran, I think we ran like Shoshone, and I don't know if we ran Lower Death at that time. I think Darren was running Lower Death at the time, so.
I don't even know what that is. What is Lower Death?
So in Colorado, it's what I call the tour. The tour in Colorado now, because I pushed us to do Death, you can run Death, Lower Death, Barrel Springs, and to Shoshone. In my opinion, it's the best 4 miles in North America, and it's on like Donkey Kong, like over 10,000. And I ran it in my little 1062, which is nuts, really, at a small boat. Darren's like, Bill did what?
Hold on. What? You're using terminology I don't even know. What's a 1062?
10.6 is the size of the boat. G2 is the name brand of the creature craft. And those are the ones without the corners that stick out. They track better. It's the original boat that Darren built was the G2. Okay. And then it went to – so the evolution of creature craft is really a G1. So the G1 is – the triangle without the T-tops or balls. And then if you've seen pictures or video, if anybody looks this up on YouTube, you can look it up. Then Darren added these balls because it wasn't uprighting. And then from the balls, Darren went to what was called a G3, which is just the one cross tube across the top of the T-top.
Wait, what are the balls? Then, I've never seen these balls.
You got to look up a ball boat.
Okay.
In creature craft, I used to say if you ran a ball boat, you had balls to run a ball boat.
Do they still make ball boats? Do they still make bow boats now? It's like old technology for creature crafts.
It's old technology because Darren has evolved, and you know, the scientist that Darren is, he keeps evolving. So like on my old, on the old G2s, you'll see D-rings up front on them. I'm like, Darren, what the hell was this for? He's like, oh yeah, back in my invention days, he like, he put these aluminum clamps that had foot cups on the outside and the inside. It was like this aluminum thing that clamped on the bottom and on the top. I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, dude, you could hear the boat for miles coming down the river because it would literally clank down the river because the aluminum underneath the bottom of the boat would like clank as it would come down the river. Wow. So,
so the G, just so I know, the G1 is just like, there's like a thing above you just so you don't flip, basically.
Correct. It was just a triangle. Darren was in his inventive state, so it was just a triangle. You could, I think it's on YouTube. It's hard to find. It's like the invention of creature craft, but it's just a green boat, and it's just the triangle. And then from the triangle, he added balls on the sides. And then from that is when he went to the T-tops. And then from the T-tops, the G4 is the corners that stick out like 3 to 4 inches. That's where you get your fulcrum point for leveraging to make a creature craft roll back up.
So the average creature craft I'll see out there, is it a G3 or a G4?
G4. Everything that Darren builds pretty much now is a G4.
Okay.
The older boats that you'll see out and about, they're all like mine's an older boat. It's a G2. So, but yeah, the things he's building are the G4s, which are also used for dam rescue. Okay. It's the only boat that can go into a dam, like a low head dam. So,
when did you start creature crafting?
Let's see. I think it was like 2005 or six. I can't remember exactly. I think I might've met Darren in 2005 or 2006. Cause I know in 2006 we went to the Locksall, and from the Locksall, I went home and Darren and crew went to Tumwater. That was the very first year they ran Tumwater, and it was running like 13.5 or 14,000, which since that point, we've hardly ever gotten to see those levels when we're there, which a year, 2 years ago is when Dallas did the 17.5 rodeo hole in POW in a little Aguamala. And then,
okay, just so you know, Bill, you're using a lot of words. I have no idea what they mean.
Slow down there, buddy.
So with Creature Craft, we'll do the models of Creature Crafts, and they're by sizes, okay?
Okay.
So these are all G4s now, because pretty much that's all Darren sells is a G4. So the 11.8 foot size, which is cowboat, which you may have seen Diglo's boat, the cowboat, that is an 11.8, and that's called a Nargon. Then the next size is what it give or take a few inches, but I'm pretty sure this is right. 12.8 is the Aguamala. And then from the 12.8, you go to like a 13.8, and that's a Bakoon. And then from the Bakoon, you go to a Kraken, which is Bean's boat, which is that Riddler boat that you see all the time, that lime green, beautiful looking boat. That's a Kraken.
Just so you know, I don't see any creature crafts ever. I mean, I've been in one once. They're not things I see all the time. Like, they're just, you probably
that
do.
That blue boat that you were in, that's Aaron's, that's an Aguamala. That's a 12.8 size boat.
Okay.
Which is like a perfect fun little like speed racer boat for like playing and driving better. Like as you get into the bigger boats, they are bigger and they're heavier. And then there's also past the Kraken, which is the 14.8. I think it's either 15.8 or 16.8, and that's the triple top. And that was something that Darren, you know, invented too and worked on and made it happen.
I know very little about creature crafts. I mean, I've been in one before. I played with them. You're using a lot of words that are like way over my head. But it sounds like I want to keep this simple so I can keep up. It sounds like you've been doing this for 15 years.
Yes, I've been creature crafting for a long, long, long time.
I had no idea.
I was there on monumental things that Darren did, where we're all standing there like okay, so when they went to do Tumwater the first time, my best friend Aaron was standing on the side of the beach or standing on the side of the road. I go, how was that conversation? He's like, dude, we didn't say a word. Like that stuff was on like Donkey Kong. And he was like, Darren's like, that's a 5 foot wave and we're going to break it. And Aaron's like, no, that's not 5 feet. It wound up being like a 10 or 12 foot wave. So when we just did it like 2 years ago and it was 14,000, there's a picture of me with a wave behind me. I don't know if it's been on Facebook, but like, it looks like that's like 5 feet. That sucker is like 22 feet in reality. So
the wave.
It's huge. Yeah, the wave. Like it's this knuckle thing. Like it from the top to the bottom of the hole is like 18 to 22 feet. And the backup is like 15 or 18 feet behind it. And that's one of the very first holes in Quarter Mile on Tumwater. And that actually ripped Mike Jones's helmet off his head in an Aguamala, the size boat that you rode.
Yeah.
So when I showed up and it was like 14,000, I made the rule. I'm like, we're doing nothing but big boats and dual oar frames, because in the evolution of creature craft, Aaron used to love the R2. And I'm like, man, that ain't nothing but a drowning machine, because when you go on side, you're sitting on the side of the boat, right? So one person's going down, yeah, and you feel like you're getting drowned. Where when you do an oar frame, when you go on side, you can high side. Now you can put your foot on the oar tower frame and be like 5 feet up off the bottom of that hole at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So by evolving more toward oar frames, you could do bigger and crazier stuff more safely without feeling like you're getting drowned. So
you said double oar frame?
Mm-hmm. Double oar frame.
Two people, like one in the front, one in the back rowing?
Yes. And it's super powerful. I was there when Darren first tried it. Him and Amy, we were at Cross Mountain Gorge on the Yampa River up out of Maybell, Colorado, which is probably the biggest hole in North America, Mammoth is. And they tried it out, and they did like three strokes, and they hit my little boat. And I thought it would break my neck. That's how much like force and power you have when two people are rowing together in sync. So,
yeah, but they have to agree.
Correct. So with the way it works in a creature craft in the space, usually you do a little bit shorter oars, kind of works ideally. Like if you, like say in the Kraken, like Bean's boat, which is the Riddler, but like usually you use 8-6 oars. So usually you like put 8-3s up front, and the person up front can only do like a 3/4 stroke. So they know in their mind, like you can't go full stroke or you're like sword fighting the whole time with oars. So plus the person in the back is kind of more the guide, and you can have the person up front kind of do more of the power if you want to do it that way. Or if you have two experienced boaters, then, you know, you're just in sync. Whereas if you take a beginner, you can put them up front and say, hey, only do 3/4 strokes and you control the boat, but you get them to help you too. So
Aaron, how do you feel about this? Double, like two different oar frames on a creature craft.
Where do we start with creature crafts? I mean, creature crafts, I have to be careful. I get in trouble with the creature crafters when I start talking, you know, so.
No, your opinion is all right, because it's just where you come from. Like, at first I thought it was weird, but then like the big stuff we do, it's like there. I wouldn't do anything but in a creature craft. So some of the stuff we do, like Cross Mountain, some kayakers ran into like $7,000 or $8,000, and they both flew out in the helicopter. And I've run Cross Mountain at like 12,000, like five times. And I got to get it at flood stage at 19,000 once. And we didn't even run Mammoth. It was so big. It was frothing in there. And it was like, that's insane.
So how much, I have a question for you. Maybe Zach already asked this and I missed it, but like how much rowing do you actually do when it's like that? Are you just like, I mean, are you just like holding, are the oars just morally free to hold on for stability? Or do you actually like need to go places? Or are you just like barreling down, you know, like driving a car without a steering wheel, basically? I mean, he has a steering wheel, but you don't really need it.
So that is what people think. But like when I've run Mammoth, because, you know, Crazy Bill TV loves the video, right? So I video, I actually have Mammoth at like 12,000 CFS because I'm scared out of my mind. Like I've been in there for 4.5 minutes in that beat down before. And we've had a few people in there for 4 or 3.5. It's usually, according to the video, it's like right about 3 minutes and 15 seconds or 3:30 you come out. Actually, Darren's been in there for 25 minutes before, and I watched that from a long distance going, holy cow, that's forever. But anyway, no, there is lines that you want to take. Like, it's just like anything else. Like, and it's very finite. Like, the crazier it gets, it's almost like the more finite of a line that you really need. And I mean, yes, if you get on, it, you get on. It. You don't.
Wait. Yeah. So if you missed your line, what happens then?
You can get hammered. Like, if I had a video screen and I walked you through it, I can show you. Darren used to always say, go 6 feet off the rock. And it was never that. The bait is, there's a rock 15 feet from the lip of Cross Mountain's Mammoth hole. And right off that little rock, it peels a little bitty white line. And that is the perfect line that you want to be on to run the hole. And now that I've studied the hole and I've been in it a few times, there is a way to run it pretty much clean. The first, the second or third time we went back to run it at 12,000, I went first. In like an Aguamala, which is the smallest boat that's ever run at that high. I'm like, man, this is nuts. But you come in with the right, you follow that line in. When you hit the wave that's going to hit you, you angle right to it because you know it's going to flip you on side, which you make a left oar go super deep. That grabs the undercurrent, and there is a washout of the hole, and you go right through like it was nothing. But it ain't nothing, because if you don't time that last stroke when you hit that wave that comes up against you, and you miss that stroke. I can show in video where you literally, I watched when Tony and them, there's a Carnage video of them in there. they miss the stroke as they hit the wave. It's all about the timing of hitting that stroke right as you hit the wave to keep your momentum going forward.
I mean, Bill, you started this conversation off with how people got beat down in that hole so many times. I mean, it sounds like people are just missing the stroke. Like, so I think Aaron's point is like, is anybody actually making the rapid correctly, or are you just going in
there
hoping?
Is so like I said, Mammoth is equated to Site Z on the Stikine in the creature craft world. Darren's done it, Mike Danger's done it, and Paperweight Nate, they of the creature craft, and actually Mark Kramer, they all did the Stikine. And I know Mike Danger personally really, really well.
Wait, hold on, hold on, stop. There's a guy named Mike Danger.
That's not his real name, but that's okay. But Mike Danger was like, yeah, Bill, like when you run Site Z, it's like four mammoths in a row. And once you understand what mammoth is, it's like, I understand mammoth because we've run it a bunch. And at certain levels, it's friendly. Like below 4,000, it's easy. I mean, like, and the commercials stop running like 2,500 to 3 grand. But over like the 7 or 8 grand range, that hole totally changes. And then again, above 12,000, at above 14,500 or 15,000, you can actually run the left side of Mammoth and run the waterfall, which is a 14-foot waterfall instead of the big gnarly hole. So, I mean, the point of creature craft is so you wouldn't have to portage a river. Like, prime example is like the Salt River. Quartzite Falls was a double drop ledge that a creature craft would have made with no issues or problems. With very minimal, quote, beat down, as we would like to say. Probably not even that much, because what a creature craft can go through is actually amazing. Like, with, like, low-head dam videos, it's amazing, like, how a creature craft is, like, a super stable platform in that turbulent water.
I mean, I agree. They can go through amazing stuff. But there are things they can't go through. So when you get to that, can you portage them?
You can, like on the Stikine was another example. Tanzilla Narrows, it's the only part that creature craft knew they would have to portage, and that's Tanzillos. It's literally like 40 inches wide, and Darren even stuffed his boat in there to see if it would go, and they had to pull it out. Literally had to do like an 8-10 foot portage, go up and around the Narrows on Tanzilla Narrows, and put right back in. So yeah, there are places like, you know, tight technical creeks, logged out stuff, which is almost any boat. So like, because of the T-tops, I ran BZ Corner down to Hoosom Falls in my boat, and I actually had a log, and I'm like, oh, crap, what do I do? So I kind of did a planned rolled to go under it. I actually have the video where I went under. I came back out and went on through, but logs are no fun. I mean, pinning in general is no fun.
Yeah, I mean, I know the log you're talking. Is this the other day when we were on the wind when you went there?
That was last year. That was the year before that, so...
Well, I mean, that log, for most of us, it's not even like a issue because we're not in a thing that's 8 feet tall. And so when you say exactly. You rolled, you went over on your side so you could change from 8 feet to 6 feet, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 4 feet when you're on side. Yeah, like T-tops are anywhere, depending on size of boat again, anywhere from like 7 foot to like even 9 foot tall. So,
but if that was a real river-wide log, you would have been in trouble.
Yes, to a point. But the thing with creature craft also,
absolutely. You know,
so here's another thing, like on the North Fork with, the situation that happened with a fellow cat boater, literally 5 days after creature craft had been on the North Fork, which I don't know, kind of annoys me that us as a community, we don't communicate even our bad stuff, right? Like bad stuff happens. We should communicate that. I think we should communicate it more than our accomplishments because, you know, you want to keep your friends safe. And like, and they knew about the log the year before because I hadn't been to Creature Craft Guide School in a year or two. And so they ran the middle and what is that? Metropalealis or whatever, the muscle in your chest, whatever that's called. They actually pinned a Creature Craft at totality and they pinned it. And the beautiful thing about a Creature Craft is being three-dimensional. It buys you time. And people are like, what's the difference between Creature Craft and every other boat? It'll buy you time in a crazy situation. And a couple different aspects of it. And one is even in a pin. So when they pinned, it slowly started to like go underwater. So they had a person in the back seat. So the captain of the boat like unstrapped, climbed out. Person in the back is still strapped in and they're like underwater. So the person that was captain is on the boat reaching for their jacket as they yanked on it, which means pull your strap, pulled the strap. And then they were on the log and then they were able to get the boat out. So by being in a creature craft, that bought them like 15 to 20 seconds of time versus if you were in a normal boat, which you're instantly in the water. So,
okay. So we're talking a lot about like kind of, we're kind of getting out there pretty extreme. Let's say we've got some people who are listening who like, hey, I want to become a creature crafter. Like, how does one become a creature crafter? Is there like books we can read on it? Is there like how to stuff on it? Like, since there's all these little techniques you guys use and these different things. You have to call Darren and just hang out with him and go boat.
It's either Darren or another fellow creature crafter, because there is a, you know, people like, oh, it takes no skill. No, there is skill with the creature craft, and there's not only just skill, but it's a different type of skill that you're learning. Like, some people are like, I just talked to someone that just got to be in a creature craft last Loxall, and they're like, where are you going? And they're like, every hole, because that's what makes this fun. But even with that, there is sections of rivers that you still need skill. Like, we just don't put anybody in a boat on the middle of the North Fork of the Payette. Like, that is an hour and a half of on like Donkey Kong. The middle of the North Fork is like, that's probably at the top of the list. Like, you got to have runs under your belt, and like, you know, we don't recommend anyone doing that. And if you do go, we put you either in a back seat or you're double oar framing, because just like raft guiding, the principle of you need to see this section 5 times before you quote guide it or quote do it yourself. That makes sense. I mean, the rule I like to imply even with creature craft is if we go do something we've never done before, I prefer to see a bigger boat. Like, you know, I want to see like the 13-8 or a 14-8 boat. I don't want to see like an 11-8 boat out on the river. You're asking for it, because the length of the boat does make a difference, like with holes and getting out of things. You know, you're displacing more volume of water with that type, with that bigger boat.
I mean, I think just going back, I want to learn more about you, Bill. I think we're heading into a creature craft direction, which is fine. Okay. I think people love talking creature crafts for sure. But I think my worry is that like rivers – The rivers are dangerous, and like class 4 and 5 rivers, big water rivers, are incredibly dangerous. And the creature craft almost makes it too easy for people to get on dangerous rivers. It almost encourages people to go on them, you know, where if you do have a mistake, things go bad quickly. What do you think about that?
Correct. And with what you just said, that is true. You know, my whole mantra of class 2 plop and drop, that is a joke at some point, but the whole point of that mantra is to get you to think like, is that easy or is that crazy? Because no matter where you're at in your skill set or level of boating, no matter what outdoor activity, be it boating, be it climbing, whatever, you always assess risk, and you should know what you're looking at. And usually you get into things via friends. So you're still biting off more than you like, not biting off more you can chew, but like there are like, okay. So like I was at the Loxall many years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I've been dying to run Selway Falls and not run it at 3,000. We're talking running it at like 25 or 30,000 CFS.
Is Selway Falls, Aaron, is Selway Falls the thing after takeout on the Selway?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
It's 20 miles from Three Rivers Lowell right there.
Yeah.
You go 20 miles up and it's after the bridge. So I've been dying to run it, and it was perfect. What perfect is for Selway Falls is there's no wood in the top fence, right? And so there was no wood. All I had was my little boat, my 10-6, and I was like, I'm running this. And my best friend's like, no, you're not. He goes, first off, it's not a big enough boat. Two, if you die, I'll never boat again. And you're breaking the rule. It's not a big enough boat. He's like, we had the crack in here. He's like, I'd let you run it. He's like, but you're not running it. And I didn't run it that day. It's not that you can always do something. You still have to assess things. I mean, you still have, even as creature crafters, we still assess things. Like, I've had a conversation with Darren about Mammoth Hole. We're the invention of the creature jet, you know, putting a motor on a creature craft. And if you can get it, once that gets perfected, a jet motor on a creature craft, I look at Darren and I go, you're going to run a creature jet through Mammoth at 20,000? And he looks back at me like, you are crazy as crazy gets. Because you can't see it. It's so froth. And we know what's in the bottom of that thing. So, like, you got to know what you're looking at. Like, when we ran Sunset Falls, it was the same thing. You know, I'd never seen it. I heard about it. My friend Aaron's like, dude, it's like a fire hydrant at a 60-degree angle just cranked on, dude. So, and it was doable. It was totally doable. Darren was like afraid of this, and this. I'm like, you know, he's like, first I just spelled you're not going to die. I go, you might break a bone, you might get a bruise. And I go, at the end of the day, you're going to make it look like class three. And his very first run that he ever did it in 2012, he made it look like class three. Now, Shaggy, I mean, on the other hand, went big.
Let's go back to Sunset now that you're there. And I mean, to me, literally, I think I would rather not have the oars, because I feel like the oars are what's going to hurt you. Like, just strap yourself in that thing and get pushed off.
You still want to take a line in there, though. You can still hold your oars. Tony ran it all the way sideways and held his oars, because Tony's our waterfall dropper.
Hold on, that's my point, Bill. If you can run the whole thing sideways,
you hold on your oars. Great. You hold on your oars.
If you can run the whole thing sideways, your oars are useless.
He didn't straighten up at the top, but he did hold his oars forward so they wouldn't hit him. It's just like when a kayaker runs and they tuck their paddles to the side when they do a waterfall drop.
Bo, did you ever read about the first descent of the Yangtze? Have you read that account? The Yangtze in China. So the Chinese and the Americans were racing to be the first ones to descend it. And so the Chinese didn't know anything about rafting. So they basically built the first creature crafts and were just pushing people off these rapids and just pushing them down to be the first ones down. Yeah.
What they did is they put two rafts on top of each other. And so I've watched that video, because that's the Three Rivers Gorge or whatever, which I wanted to. Three Rivers Gorge. That's a badass video. So the reason that didn't work is because it was a sandwich. The reason Creature Craft came about is because Darren got tired of swimming. Darren is a badass roundboater. He'd always go into the Room of Doom on Skull. He's ran Gore a gazillion times. Darren's had like 17 surgeries under anesthesia. I was there for like one of them already. But he had to have shoulder surgery in Gore, and that's where he's like, man, I'm tired of swimming. And that's where Creature Craft came about.
I mean, hold on. Stop for a second. You're saying he's a badass roundboater, but he swam all the time.
It happens. You ever watch Gore like 900 to 1200? They swim. Everybody swims.
I didn't swim.
I'm not worthy, Zach. I'm not worthy.
I'm just saying, like, I know a lot of people that are badass boaters and they don't swim all the time. So I think I would define, like, I mean, Aaron Erdick is pushing the limits of what's humanly possible right now. I mean, he is just going next level. And he's a badass boater. But he doesn't swim that often. He hasn't had 17 surgeries. So, like, but a lot of the people I know, like Aaron, who's right now with us, Aaron's a badass boater. Aaron doesn't swim very often. So, I don't know. I wouldn't correlate having 17 surgeries with being a badass boater a badass boater.
Tyler Bratt's done the highest waterfall in the world and had to have back surgery when he did that one in Oregon. That was an 80-footer.
That's a yeah. perfect analogy. Dropping waterfalls to running.
crap happens. I mean, it does.
It doesn't have to. I don't think it has to. I think you can. I feel like we should personally. This is just my thoughts on it as an aside. That when we go do difficult rivers, we push the limits. Like, we need to definitely assess the risk and be safe and take very good risk. And things do happen a lot, but I think going with the attitude of, like, crap happens, I'd like to rather go into it like, we're going to do a really good job being safe here instead of just assuming something bad's going to happen.
Correct, which I'm the same. I feel the same way. Like, I just went and did a trip. You see my Canada trip. And I wasn't the leader of the group. And I made the final decision. And that final decision was, we're out. Like, I heard there was no ebb and flow to the trip. And too many things hit the fan when it happened, and I'm like, no, we're out. We're done. Like, my ego could have said, I'll be the first to run this at the highest level ever. And it's like, no, like, my ego is more important. My ego is not as important as a group dynamics and taking care of the people.
So, Bill, for the audience who doesn't know, let's talk about that trip. Like, where'd you go? What was the deal? What'd you do?
What trip are we talking about?
I went to do the Alsek River to go do Turnback Canyon is what we went to go run.
With Creature Crafts.
A Creature Craft is the problem with that scenario. If it was a true Creature Craft, like all of it would have been three Creature Crafts, it would have been a whole different story. But it wasn't a true Creature Craft trip. It was a hybrid trip of like, our Creature Craft, a round boat that had these things that are made by a person are called all rights, And then we had a canoeist with
it's
us.
It's called a what? An all right?
They're called all rights. So it's a creature craft knockoff is pretty much what it is.
Okay.
All right?
It's yeah,
like,
they're called
all right. It's like an all right. It's all right. It's not that good, basically. You say it's like all right. It's like, yeah, it's okay. That's what it is. It's okay.
The,
yeah,
the
this is okay.
It's all right. It will write your boat. It'll rewrite your boat like an all right. It will rewrite your boat. It's kind of like a creature craft. A creature craft rewrites itself, right? It's self-writing boat is the terminology used in creature craft.
Wait, hold on. Self-write. It doesn't self-write. You have to do something to write it. It's sort of like
correct,
it's like,
but it's
like calling
close.
A heart.
It's close.
Yeah.
Compared to a conventional raft, you'd have to pull over, pull out pulleys, yeah. Get five people, blah blah blah. And a creature craft, you flip on side. If it's got the right size dimension tubes and T-tops, it will self-write. Like the way we found the magic number with the fulcrum point in the mathematics is when Darren had a G3 built by China and they messed it up, but it was the most self-writing boat in the world, so we just did the mathematics on it, and that's what Darren copies off of from that point forward, is a boat that self-writes, and it does, like you barely lean and the whole boat goes back over.
Yeah, so. I mean, this is semantics, but I wouldn't call it self-writing because it doesn't come back on its own. I would say it just doesn't flip completely.
Correct. Which in most cases it doesn't. So
self-riding would be like calling a hard shell kayak self-riding, because once it goes, you can get it back over when you're done, but it doesn't do it automatically. And same thing with the creature craft, like you can, you know, once it goes on its side, you know, with like actually it's not that hard to get it back over. I was surprised, you know, with a little bit of effort you can get the thing back up, but it doesn't do it on its own. The user has to do something, sort of like a kayak roll.
You got to shift weight. Pretty much. You shift weight, put your foot on a T-tower, grab for the high one, you're coming over. And by the time you just reach for the T-tower, you're probably coming over. Just shifting your weight to reach for a T-tower will make it come over. Because when you don't have oars on a creature craft and you set them on the ground, you let them go, they come right back over. They don't stay sitting on the ground because that's that fulcrum point to make it come back up.
Let's go back to your LSEC trip. So let's talk about – I just want to hear about your LSEC trip a little more.
First off, I knew it was going to be difficult. No matter who I went with, like getting permits, getting there, it's 32 hours to put in. You got to do two permits. You got to make sure your takeout date's correct. You deal with grizzly bears. You got to have the grizzly fence or the bear fence. You got logistics. You got to be able to, you got to fly out at the end via a bush plane or whatever. And then depending if you do or don't do turn back in, you have to have a helicopter. So it's a lot of logistics. I know it was a pain. And then when I got there, like, it just snowballed into one thing after another, and we did pretty much an 11-day trip in 5 days. We did 200 miles of river in 5 days, and I never got one rest day either, which
that
I was annoyed.
Crazy.
But
crazy. When I did it, yeah, I did it in 14.
You've done turn back. You've done that. You did out.
We,
you did DZ Ash down to.
Yeah, but we did the helicopter around turn back. We just got above it, put everything in the helicopter. We didn't run turn back. We didn't even think about it. We were just in like 18-foot gearboats, but we did 14 days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Five is
enjoy,
insane.
Did you enjoy Lowell Lake at least?
Yeah, we laid over there. So yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want like 2 or 3 days at Lowell Lake to enjoy Lowell Lake. Lowell Lake is like, anybody that's listening, you got to see Lowell Lake real time and like be there for 3 days. You're like in heaven. It's icebergs in a lake. Like, and it's like, they also call it the land of 1,000 glaciers. Like as you're floating down the river, you see like just glacier after glacier. We actually, when we went to go run Sam's Rapid, a bear swam in front of me and Bean in the creature. I had to yell at it to make it turn back around. So it's pretty crazy. But...
Is Bean Derek Scovell?
Yes.
Okay.
That is
same
Bean.
Person. Okay. Sorry. Like I'm getting caught up in terminology here. I should know that, but that's Bean. Did you guys share a creature craft or each had your own?
No, we shared his. We took his, that's the one that you see in the photos that's on the lake or whatever. That's that's his Riddler. He calls it the Riddler. That's a Kraken 14.6 creature craft.
Okay.
And again, like I said, we did 11 days of boating in 5 days. I never slept in the same campground, same camp, same night ever. First night I slept without a pad because of the chaos and craziness. And then we got into Turnback Canyon. We launched late. It wasn't, like I said, there was no ebb and flow. Coming back to like, oh, just, you know, you get in a boat and go down river. No, there's other things to a trip, and like this trip did not have an ebb and flow at all. And I was preaching from day one, like, hey, we're out in the middle of nowhere. The best way we're going to have safety overall is conserve our energy. Like, we're going to be out here for 14 days. You need to conserve energy, conserve energy, conserve energy, right? Because like here in God's country, I mean, you've been there. It's awesome. And so just one thing after another, snowballed. So we finally get down to Last Chance Beach, which you probably didn't see because you flew out probably like a half a mile up on the left.
Exactly.
You got to see Black Adair's paddles, but you probably got to see. So, but anyway, so we get to Last Chance. I don't know. It's like we were supposed to get there at noon that day. We didn't get there till 4. So we crash out the next day. We had some people that were going to hike that. And it's insane. That hike is like, that hike is class 6 is what I've been told. And so things just kept blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'd like to launch by like 11 or 1. You know, give me some time in this 3 mile. I've never been in this canyon. And so we don't launch till 7 o'clock at night. And then we launch. And then we
You launched to go run Turnback Canyon at 7 o'clock at night.
Now, mind you, it doesn't get dark till 11:30 at night. The days are from 11:30 to 3:30.
Bill, you're killing me here. You're killing me here with this story. It sounds like a shit show. It sounds like really unorganized, and like it sounds like not improving my impression of people who use these type of crap.
That the person I went with, I'm not mentioning names for a reason. The person I went with is why it was a shit show, and it's all over social media.
All right, let's not go down that route.
That's why I'm not mentioning names. And you're right, it was a shit show. Like, I wake up the very first morning to where we go launch, and a friend of mine goes, "Have you heard the latest?" I'm like, "Oh my god, this shit changes by the minute." Like, we're talking like I want to make a point as we're talking about very simple logistical type crap was getting like AWOL, and I'm just like, oh my god. But again, I knew it was going to be hard. I knew, like I said, the logistics, it's long distance, you got this, that, the other, and I really wanted to do it. And so in part of that, I put up with it. That's why me and Bean are organizing another trip to go do the ALSEC and do it properly and do it with, you know, do it correctly and not like a total shit show. Like, I get it. Like, I've boated with a lot of boaters, and things turn into quote shit shows, as we call it, or a mess, right? But this was like, this was like Olympic style, took the gold of all.
Well, there's a lot. Interpersonal dynamics on trips can be very hard. Let's just leave it at that and move on.
Correct.
Let's talk about your next trip. To do it better in your eyes, is that all Creature Crafts?
Going to do a hybrid. I'd like to have like 2 to 4 Creature Crafts and have like 2 or 3 support boats. We actually have some people on board.
Why do you need support boats? You can't carry your own gear?
You can, but you want to be lightweight when you're going to run Turnback. Like, when we were in there, it was the highest it's ever been. Like, I met Benny and I met Jules in Totoga, and we talked about Turnback Canyon at high water. And they're like, yeah, dude, like, we got to, I think it was like second island inside of Turnback Canyon, and they went to go scout Hare, which is on like, that thing is huge. That thing, and I saw it from above with a video, and I'm like, holy cow, like, this looks like, you know, 2 foot in this right here. And I know that's not 2 foot, that's like 15 to 20 foot waves in there. So they had went to go scout it, and it was like at 35-40, and when they came back like an hour later, it had rise to like 50 to 60,000. It rises that quick in there. So we were going to be running it at the highest level it had ever been run. And just like I said, with the whole non ebb and flow of that trip and other things and what people said and what I heard, I'm just like, nope, we're done. So we helicoptered out from halfway point, which is Second Island. You can see Second Island where we actually, if you watch any of the videos of the helicopter, like on Whitewater Beans channel on YouTube, you'll see the helicopter come and pick us up. And the pilots are smiling ear to ear like, we've never landed in here before. So
the pilots are, I mean, I remember the pilot when they dropped us off. He flew straight into a cliff and then went straight up the cliff. Like, the pilots there they're unbelievably insane. Like, I didn't know.
They're good, too.
I didn't know helicopters could do what he was doing. I mean, he was doing it to show off, kind of. Like, show off, just be, kind of have some fun without us. But so, did you guys run some of the rapids in Turnback Canyon?
Yes. Turnback Canyon is 3 miles long, and the way it runs out, the rapids go double S-turn, it goes Dynaflow, it goes Island 1 and 2, which ain't really nothing. Then it goes Upper Hare. Then it goes Hare. And then it goes Percolator. Then it goes Deuce's Roost. And we ran it all the way to Second Island, just before Second Island. But Hare is the money in there. Hare is the money rapid. And I didn't get to see what Percolator looked like, too. Percolator might be a backed up hole, but at 60,000, I talked to one of Benny's friends that put in. I'm like, what's the run going to be at 60,000? He's like, just right down the middle, man. Just right down the middle. And it's true. Like, they're like, you can go left at Dynaflow. There was no left. It was just where the water took you. Like, it was right. And then the canyon's only 20 to 25 feet wide in spots. Yeah. And at Hourglass, it's even tighter. Hourglass, and I think Deuce's Roost is kind of tight too, supposedly. Gets down to like 8 or 10 feet wide.
So, Bill, I want to move on because we could chat about this all day, and I want to end this eventually. I want to ask you some other questions on my mind.
Zach, can I ask?
Go ahead. Yeah, please do.
So, Bill, why are you living in Pacifica if you're a creature crafter? Is there good creature crafting near Pacifica?
I am a union electrician, and I am solely here for money.
do you creature craft at all in California?
Yes. I've done the Trinity at 10,000, 6,500, 4,500. I got to do the cow salmon a year or two ago when they had the cow salmon gathering a race. I've done the Merced. I've done the Tuolumne, but I did Tuolumne in a baby creature or a Cronin. And I run the Merced in a round boat with Ansel. I've got to do a few things around here. What's the other ones I've got to do? I want to still do the Klamath. I haven't gotten to do the Klamath. I've done the Illy. I got to do the Illy at 25,000 with Aaron. I got to do it my first time at, like, I don't know what it was, 1,000 or 2,000 when we did it. That was super fun. That's how I met Bean.
So you don't take that up to do like Cherry Creek or anything like that?
Darren has ran Lumps and Falls. So I haven't got to do that yet. I would want to. I actually want to go run. I got to go do the North Fork of the Feather just this past year. I met Zach there at the competition. That was super cool. I never got to do that before. That was my little 10.6 G2 I had. I only ran Loban, not Tobin, because I'd never been there before. I'd love to run Tobin. I also got invited to go do the Middle Fork of the Feather when that all situation happened as a recon to go get boats, but I had spent money. And I'm kind of glad I didn't win. I heard the story from friends, and it's like, yeah, dude, it was like 100 rapids, and like, it was cold. It was like early May, mid-May, and it was cold. Like, my friend still has issues with his feet because of how cold that water was. So,
Aaron, they did Middle Feather at 4,000 or something like that.
That would be awesome, though, because you don't have to deal with the portage. Exactly. I mean, not having the portage would be so much better.
Are you saying because of the creature craft, you don't have to portage, Aaron?
Yeah, correct.
And that's why I love creature craft. Like, anytime, what really got me into creature craft is when you're in Colorado, you hear this, it's too high. And it's like, no, this is perfect. So you just need to own two boats. I know creature crafts are kind of more expensive, but you own a creature craft, you own a ducky, you're going to have fun all seasons. Like, you get to do early season, and then once that season ends out, you just pull out a ducky and you have fun when it becomes low water. So, and that's why I like creature craft. Multifold is that you don't have to say, oh, it's too high. The other thing is, you don't deal with crowds. You're usually the only clowns that put in, and the people looking at you. When we went to go run Death the very, very first time, which was my idea. Hold on.
What's Death?
Death is in Glenwood Canyon. Have you ever driven Glenwood Canyon in Colorado?
I don't think so, because I don't know.
So when you drive through the canyon, you'll see Barrel Springs. You can't miss Barrel Springs. And then there's the most infamous hike ever, which is called Hanging Lake, which they just now restricted with gated entry, which makes it a pain. So Death is awesome. Like, it's crazy. It's like, it's a miniature Sunset Falls is what Death Rapid is. Instead of 105 vertical feet, it's about 35 feet of drop over, instead of 275 feet, it's over about 150 feet. And that's why I kept telling Darren, like, dude, we can do this. We've already done Sunset Falls. We can do this. So when I was driving over the hill for work, because I used to work in Denver and come back home to Grand Junction, I would back down the entry ramp, the on-ramp to Hanging Lake, and hike down and scout Death Rapid. Like, three times I did that. So, but yeah, right. Death is fun. Like, you couldn't run it before. If you could actually run the dam, if they would raise the gates, you could run the dam, Death Rapid, Lower Death, into Barrel, into Shoshone. So,
all right, I want to ask my last few questions. First of all, what's the deal with bologna sandwiches?
That comes back into personal conflict stuff. It was a run-on joke, which everybody, like, I don't know. It's the same thing like with class food plop and drop. You know, it's like, I mean, it's like, it's just, it's a play on words. It's what people resonate with. The baloney thing was like with the whole raft guy thing, the whole raft guy.
What whole raft guy thing? I'm a raft guy. Like, Aaron's a raft guy. I love raft guides.
I love raft guides. So as raft guides, you eat bologna and Coke, right? That's warm bologna and Coke, unless you're working for a better outfit like Zach. You know,
we
Zach
don't.
Probably gives you gourmet wine and like steak and
no raft
and
guide
chicken.
I know. No raft guide I know is eating bologna and Coke.
The only time I've had bologna and Coke was when we had these trips where these people would bring their own food with them. And that's the only time I've ever had bologna and Coke. We've never provided that on any trip I've ever worked. I mean, maybe it's different in Colorado. I don't know. I haven't worked out there, but, you know, west of Colorado, in the true west, we eat a little better. Yeah. A little healthier.
I love it. The true west. That's awesome.
Wait, just so I know, is Colorado in the west? I consider it more like central U.S. Am I missing
no,
something there?
Midwest is what they call like Kansas and Nebraska. Okay. Like Denver / Colorado is kind of the start of the west. Like Denver, Utah, Montana, you know, Arizona, California.
It doesn't make sense, though, because like Michigan's part of the Midwest. They call Michigan the Midwest.
Okay.
Right? Ohio's the Midwest. It's like, I mean, really, it's more like the Middle East. I mean, if anything, not the Midwest.
There's already a Middle East.
The Mid-East. So, maybe not the Mid-East.
So going back to the bologna Coke, just so I understand, it's basically somehow related to raft guides serving bologna and Coke, something you saw somewhere, and you're like, okay, bologna and Coke.
Yeah, that's what you work for. Like if you're a rookie raft guide, you know, it's like you don't get paid much, or you work for gear, or you work for your dinner, kind of like working for a bologna and Coke kind of thing. So
I've never seen that. Is that something you saw somewhere, or you're just making this up?
I'm getting my information from a friend of mine I've never been in the industry. I've never been a raft guide. I've never been I can't say technically I've ever been a rock climbing guide. I have, just like with boating, I've taken friends boating, I've taken friends climbing, but I've never been in the industry as a guide. I kind of live by the mantra, I don't want to do what I love as a job, because then I might hate it. So I don't ever want to hate it. So I don't want to do it as a job. I just want to do it as for fun. So,
So Bill, do you consider yourself an ambassador for this whole scene, the creature craft scene? Are you like an ambassador for the creature craft scene then? Are you like kind of a representative for the creature craft scene?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Darren for a long time, and creature craft, I mean, you can have your opinion about it until you get in a boat. Once you get in a boat, you see, like you said, you know, you don't have to, the thing is, you don't have to deal with crowds as much. You don't have to portage, which is super, super, super huge. I mean,
Well, hold on. I want you to,
that's
not true.
Back up.
You will have to portage sometimes. I don't want anybody to think that just because you're a
creature
craft, you have to portage.
But I mean, but there's some rivers that we go do that you would normally portage that we don't portage. So like,
yeah, that's true.
For instance,
that's true.
You know,
I'm not going to, that's true.
Like
I get
Death
that.
Rapid, kayakers put in below Death. We put in above Death. So that's like a quarter mile walk versus, or quarter mile push with the cart with the boat versus just putting in right there. So,
okay, so
I mean,
going back here for a second. So I just want to like say, I kind of see you like as an ambassador for creature crafting from what, you know, your talk and how involved you are with the community. And like, it's interesting because the stories today that you've told have been about shit shows and bologna sandwiches and Coke. And like, I mean, you're not making it sound like you guys are a group of elite athletes going out there and pushing the limits.
They have pushed the limits. And
for sure. Yeah.
They pushed, totally pushed the limits. Like the reason this Stikine got done by a kayaker is because in our world, we are tied to everybody. Like it's, because of creature craft is why I met Zach Collier. Because of creature craft is why I've met a lot of people out west.
Yeah.
I met through, you know, they say you meet people through people. Like I met Shawnee of Goodwater Boatworks like in 2008. So I've met a lot of people through that's why when I say I love creature, it ain't just the boat and the boating. It's the people I get to meet, you know, like that's I may run my mouth and be crazy, like Crazy Bill TV, whatever. Like, but if you, once you get to know me, like, I just love like hanging out with friends, being on the river, like something I've loved to do. And I don't care if it's a ducky, I don't care if it's creature craft. I ran a round boat, I've run cat boats, only thing I haven't done is a riverboard and stand-up paddleboard, which I'd probably try. I haven't really done hard shell kayaking, but any of that, I would enjoy it. You know, it's just all about hanging out with friends, having a good time. You know, like Zach says, let's just go. Like, I like Zach's intent of how he's the adventure boater, you know, like, you know, this stuff you do, like with Checo. No, like what you do with the Checo and stuff, how like you just want to do some crazy wild, like hiking to get in. And it don't have to be class six. It can be class two, class four, but like the hike to get in and this and that, and the logistics could be hard. Like, that's adventure boating, you know, and that's kind of what creature craft is. It's adventure boating. Like, you do get to do the next level. And as you know, I'm 42 years old. I'm not going to be, my mind thinks I'm 21, you know. Shawnee asked me one time, she's like, Bill, why do you like do all this big crazy stuff? And I'm just like, well, you know, when we show up to go boating with creature craft and you guys like, oh, this is easy, anybody can do it. I'm like, I'm nervous. Like, it's the only thing that I'm still nervous every time I go boating. Like, when we go do Tumwater, like, if I haven't been there in a year or two and it's my first run, I'm nervous. It's like my brain has to go, hey, this boat is what makes you safe. Like, as once you do a run, it re-registers, like, oh yeah, this is what creature crafts can do, and this is why we love them, and this is why
I can make
fun.
You nervous. Yeah. I can make, let's put you on a sup on the white salmon. That'll make you nervous.
Seen the white salmon. Oh, trust me.
Let's put you on a sup on the white salmon. I'll make you nervous. Let's put you on rollerblades through Hood River with colors. That'll make you nervous. I can make you nervous if that's what you want.
I want to see someone on a sup who we know personally drop Big Brother and do like a front flip and land.
No,
it, so.
nobody's going to do that.
It's a possibility.
I want to just like agree with a couple things you said over the past few minutes. One, I would say once you've done a creature craft, once you've tried it, it definitely changes your perspective. I definitely had more respect for the boat after I did it. And so I would agree with that. Like, I was kind of one of those people that was kind of a hater before. And after doing it, I'm like, hey, that's actually pretty cool. Like, I'm not going to go buy one, but it changed my opinion of it. And the other thing is, I think, you know, when people see you on your YouTube channel or Facebook or something, they might think you're like out there out to lunch, but meeting you in person and getting to know you in person, you're just an awesome dude. And I definitely want to agree with that. Like, you're just a good guy who is outlandish at times, I think, but like, you're genuinely a good dude.
You know, and like, what I love about the community is I went to Locksall, and this was after, like, you know, we ran Sunset Falls and Darren had that issue. So we went to Locksall, and like, I was able to get out of my boat, hitch a ride back to put in like 15 minutes away, like literally 2 minutes. As soon as I got out of my boat, 2 minutes later, I was able to hitch a ride, get to put in, didn't see who I needed to see, got back out on the road, and like 2 minutes later hitched another ride back to my boat, all because of like the community and the Whitewater festivals. And it's like, and that's what I love about the Whitewater festivals. I mean, especially like Boatsmith is so awesome. I mean, I shouldn't really be telling people about that. That's like the hidden gem, but anyway.
I mean, the thing about the Smith is you can go there other times than Boatsmith too. Like, there's other times.
Oh yeah.
You can go there if you want to go boating and not see people if you want. Like, it's an amazing resource for paddling. So I want to just finish up and have you talk about Crazy Bill TV. Like, what is it? Why are you doing it? Like, why should people subscribe? What's the deal?
So Crazy Bill TV probably originated with my father. He was always into video. And back in the day, you know, you had the big VHS cameras. That was first. Those were like $2,000. Well, then the little VHSCs came out. And so, like, I bought my dad the VHSC. And my dad used to film everything. Like, you want to, like, make fun of any of my family members, just go to my mom's basement. And he's got, like, literally, like, probably, like, not lying, like, 100 to 200 hours of video of us, like, all through life. And so that's kind of, like, where I got it from, like, the video. And just, I love doing it. It's fun. You know, I got a GoPro. My little brother has a YouTube channel, and he's been rocking that, and we've been throwing stuff back and forth, ideas on like how to edit and video and all that stuff. So I got a drone. I got the DJI Mavic drone, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty good with GoPros and stuff like that. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with a GoPro even. So, and usually, like, even with the creature craft crowd, like, Bill's the GoPro guy, and I'm like, okay. So, like, it kind of annoys me sometimes, like, okay, we build boats, but we don't put a GoPro mount on this boat. You know, that's like the ultimate sales and marketing if you have a GoPro mount, you know, so you can just put a camera on there pretty quickly. So, but no, Crazy Bill TV just came about because, like, I just like to film. And same thing, like, Facebook. Like, I had never been on Facebook until 2 years ago. So I just went live all the time. It's just, I don't know, something I like to do. It's fun. I do move around a lot sometimes for my work and for boating. I will say Creature Craft introduced me to a whole nother world. Like, I got to go to Idaho. I got to go to Washington. I got to go to California. Because of it, I went to Canada. I've gone to Alaska. I mean, one of my visions is to go to Indus. I want to go run the Rondo Gorge for sure. So stuff like that. I mean, big dreams because of it. And like I said, I love the video at all. It's just fun, the video. You know, when I was there, when you did your interviews with your iPhone and stuff, I mean, it's just the technology you have is unbelievable. So, and that's something I like, not just showing like the craziness of filming, but I like the documentary style of like the community and, you know, bantering back and forth. Like, you show up to the Wind River award ceremony and it's already over. And Zach Collier goes, Bill Guyman, do you ever boat? I love that stuff. I love it. I know. So. you sounded like Ben Sigler, like literally 30 days prior to that at Boatsmith. He's like, I didn't think you ever boated. I just thought you was a groupie, Bill. So,
yeah.
I mean, I love crowds and I don't love crowds. Like, when it comes to boating, if it's a crowd, I'd rather film the crowd. I mean, it was kind of weird because like Creature Craft showed up for like the very first Boatsmith. I mean, we had like full crew there. We got to do it at 27,000. It was awesome. We got to take new people, you know. And I don't have to run all the time. Like, you know, I've boated a lot. I've got to do a lot of crazy things. And just, you know, I do work remotely. So when I get to see friends, I really cherish that. So it's a good time. Like, Bean's like, I wasn't coming to the Wind race unless you showed up. I'm like, okay, cool. And then that all worked out. Like, we didn't run that because he's like, that's too low. And then he met some old school friends because he's been around for like 20 years. So someone really needed to go boating. And that felt good to take them out because they hadn't been out in a while. And just felt good to go boating, you know, and it felt like Christmas. I mean, all that snow that they got, that was awesome.
Man. It was really cool.
That was so cool. Yeah, it was way cool. I was like, I think on my Facebook Live, I was like, look, it's Christmas time. Because you guys didn't get too much snow this year. I think it was like once for like 4 or 5 days prior to that. So
we've had snow, but it was weird because it was like in the 50s and 60s the week before. And in one day, it went from like 60 degrees to 30. And snowed on the mm-hmm. weekend. It's just the weather changed so fast, and now it's 60 again. It was a weird storm. Well, I want to finish it up. We could sit here and chat forever, but we got to wrap this episode up. And we finish every episode with gear of the week. Do you guys have any gear of the week to add?
My favorite.
Go ahead.
My favorite is Sawyer Polecat Oars or MXers, because as a creature crafter, we beat the crap out of everything, and we used another brand for a bit. And if you sneeze, they would like bend and break. And like Sawyer has just been so awesome. Like, I mean, you see the beatings we do in Creature Craft, and like to break an oar in a Creature Craft, you're like, dang. So I love Sawyer Polecat or the MXer shafts that they have. So
yeah, the Polecats are less expensive. The MXs are lighter and, you know, step up. So if you're trying to save money, the Polecat's the way to go. But if you have the money, the MXs are pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, what do you got?
I mean, I will say I've been using my Pliable a lot right now because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not getting out much at all. And it's hard to, you know, keep yourself fit to go paddling when you can't go paddling and can't get out there. But, you know, that exercise ball has just been – it's actually been my savior the last week here. So I'm really loving that thing.
You mean like the big 3-foot diameter?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
What are you doing? Give us an exercise. What's a good exercise for that ball?
I mean, just a lot of plank. Like, you know, you do the plank, you get your hands on the ball, feet on the ball. You walk out on your hands, your feet on the ball, or you just sit on it. You know, just sit on it, try to balance on it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to go for it, you can try to stand up on it. Which, I mean, yeah.
No, so don't. I think that we should make it all of our goals to not get hurt this next couple of weeks. Like, the last place you want to be is the hospital. So don't stand up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Well, my gear of the week is the Rock Exotica mini machined pulley. I've kind of lately been going back to my safety gear, organizing it. And I found these pulleys I bought last year. And they're made in the U.S. Rock Exotica is a U.S. company. And they make a tiny pulley that's super high quality. So if you want to carry a pulley in your PFD, I'd highly recommend this one. They're like $60. They're not cheap, but they're worth it, I think. So that's it.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. So
hey, Bill, just one last
Yeah.
Just one last thing, Zach. Hey, thanks for the information on the Nass River. That was an awesome run, and I knew information came from you. That's a kick-ass run in Canada, just as an FYI. So thank you again for that.
Yeah, no, I wanted to go to the Babine. That was my goal, is to run the Babine. And a friend of mine was like,
into the Skeena.
Yeah, a friend of mine's like, no, the Nass is better. You got to do it. And so we did a trip, like, it's my bachelor party trip a number of years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the hardest part of that trip is finding the put in. I mean, I
found it, but you got to be a hillbilly and being willing to tear up your truck a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we were going down that road pulling a trailer, and I'm thinking, man, if we have to come back at this, we're in trouble. And we had spent 4 hours trying to find the put in, driving up and down those roads, and finally gave that dirt road a chance. And man, that's the toughest part. So, well, Bill, thanks for joining us. Aaron, thanks for being a co-host. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys in future episodes.
Cool, thanks.
All right, yeah. Have a good one, Zach.
Yeah, have a good one, Zach. Thank you.
That's a wrap, gentlemen. Chattahoochee on Rio Grande, the Alligator.